traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, here we go in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, a podcast to promote and improve your practice as an athletic trainer. I am Jeremy Jackson, host of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Dr. Josh Yellen was taking my seat again. Sean Reedy is supposed to be doing the interview of Brian Duncan as we're talking about mobilization, specifically of the spine mobilization. And so this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/mobilization. Again, as we're live here at Sports Medicine Update, hosted by Memorial Hermann here in Katy, Texas. Brian Duncan, thanks for joining us again on the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Hey, I really appreciate y'all having me. Excited to chat about spine mobilization, manipulation, and all things that benefit athletes and patients that we all see.
So to start with, I love the topic. I love the talk. That's and you probably saw me back there like, Who's worried about spine manipulation? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm the first one to raise my hand, right? Yeah. Because I am. Yeah. I deal with a different patient population. I deal with a very high traumatic patient population a lot of times. I mean, and we do as athletic trainers. So, and this was what Dr. Yellen and I were just talking about as Jeremy, we just wouldn't hit the record button since we basically said, hey, let's just do this. My fear always in the spinal manipulation or in just manipulation in general is the lack of the proper eval. Mm-hmm. We need a proper eval no matter what, depending upon to determine the extent of the injury prior to manipulation. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that I think a lot of people forget about when they start going, hey, I'm going to this manipulation course, I jump into this or this manual therapy course or whatever. We need a proper evaluation, neurotomes, diatomes, dermatomes.
Yeah, you're making up words of this way. He's talking about proper examination. He's making up words.
I am making up words.
What's a neurotome?
Yeah.
Define that for me, Sean.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Holy cow. It is. Holy cow.
And
wait a minute. I need a second to process this. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Strength testing. We need a proper evaluation prior to any of these.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. It's a manipulation, mobilization is a tool in a toolbox, and you don't know what tool you need unless you've done a proper exam. And that exam can be more streamlined the more experienced you are and the more you understand how to integrate that evidence into practice, right? Like your pattern recognition, just like a mechanic. Take your car to a mechanic, and many times he can run diagnostics. But a lot of times from what you've reported, he knows what's going on, but he has to confirm. And so I would say even as you become more and more experienced and adept at screening and your exam, you still got to do it. Mm-hmm. So somebody came in yesterday into the clinic with neck pain. She'd hit her head on the top of her head on her car getting in. All right. Well, that's traumatic, but that wasn't necessarily high velocity.
Right.
But, you know, then she did it a few more times before she actually came in to see me. And so then I'm like, hey, we need to screen your cervical spine.
Why do you keep hitting your head on your car?
Yeah,
that's
right.
The question
we got to do a little mental assessment here.
Yeah, what's happening here?
Yeah, so yes, back to the point of, yes, an exam. You need myotomes, dermatomes, especially in the cervical spine, just willingness to move. Mm-hmm. If that patient isn't willing to move, that's a yellow to a red flag, right? You know, if they say, I can move in all these directions, but it hurts when I move in this direction and it hurts right here at this one particular point, that's sounding like my wheelhouse for mobilization manipulation. Mm-hmm. When they say, I just went in for a tackle. I felt electricity through all my limbs. I don't feel it now. I don't feel comfortable moving my neck. Mm-hmm. That's not somebody.
That's a no-go. That's a no-go.
Non-starter.
Right. So I want to jump in off of what you said, right? And what you're really starting to talk about is clinical picture and algorithms, mm-hmm. right? So can you talk a little bit about your, you know, how you start to put together a clinical picture and what algorithms are you going through, right? What's your first step and you're looking at?
And that's a great question. So I think we always think about red flags. So we always start with, like, what are we worried about? Are we worried about, nervous system? So mm-hmm. myotomal weakness. Mm-hmm. You have dermatomal issues. Do you have a traumatic event? You in a car accident? When I was a kid, my mom wasn't wearing her seatbelt. She was turning around, slapping me and telling me and my sister to behave in the back seat. Gets in a car accident. Mm-hmm. Her head cracks the windshield.
Ooh.
That's not somebody that needs a joint manipulation, right? You know, she may need a concussion screen,
right.
And a CT of her neck or MRI, but. So we're looking at trauma, we're looking at neurologic symptoms, we're looking at, hey, my vision's changed, hearing's changed. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not fitting into things that typically get better with a manipulation. So I need some other kind of questioning stream to move down those roads. How about yellow flags? Somebody comes in, they've got chronic back pain, they've seen 5 different providers, mm-hmm. or as an athletic trainer, they just keep coming in. They keep coming in. They're not getting better. Is there something else going on? Is there a lack of buy-in? Is there a lack of confidence? Are they worried about the MRI they might have had? Those are also people who typically don't benefit from manipulation. People mm-hmm. who typically benefit from manipulation are people with an acute change in symptoms. That have pain in a particular place, they mm-hmm. may have some referred pain, meaning mm-hmm. they may have neck pain that refers into their scapular region. They may have back pain that refers into their hip or into their thigh. That doesn't worry me if it doesn't follow an electrical pattern, but it's typically more acute in nature, and they typically are otherwise doing pretty well, except for when they rotate or move in a particular direction.
Yeah. And so along with that algorithm, right, I'm just going to dive right into the part of the body that everybody's freaked out about, the cervical spine.
Yeah.
Nobody, clinicians just don't like to get into that.
Yeah.
But let's just talk about it, right? Before I do a cervical manipulation, like you said, I'm going to go through my dermatomes. I'm going to go through my myotomes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a neurotome is, but. I'm going to go through that, right? And mm-hmm. I'm going to look at differential diagnosis. I'm going to. Mm-hmm. All those other things. And one of the things that I'm probably going to do in my examination before I do a cervical manipulation is I'm going to go through my 5 D's. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, Brian Duncan, run down the 5 D's, ooh, the 3 N's, man. Right? Come on, brother. Come on, buddy.
This is for my slides that I teach.
Come on, man.
Yeah. So D's, man, I'm going to need some help. Dysphagia, dysarthria.
Yeah. Diplopia. Oh,
diplopia.
Dizziness,
drop attack.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Good
hey,
one.
Yeah.
Thanks hey, listen, for saving me, man.
Yeah, brother.
Throwing me a lifesaver.
I'm right here, man. I'm with it.
And the 3 N's.
Yeah. Nystagmus, nausea,
and
need to ask Sean what a neurotome is.
Neurotome.
Neurotomes.
Yeah. What's the 3rd N? Yeah. Ooh, come on, man. Look, because I'm willing to bet there's some people who are listening, going, "Hey, listen." I still believe that athletic trainers can't manipulate.
Ooh.
And that's not factual.
No.
If we do a basic special orthopedic test, right? Anterior jaw of the knee. That technically is a manipulation, right? When I look at Maitland's laws.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I would say manipulation is literally just a skill. Performing allotments mm-hmm. is a skill. Mm-hmm. You can see when somebody who doesn't know what they're doing or just isn't confident, just learned it, mm-hmm. Doesn't have the setup done well, isn't able to find in range and give a little extra tug. And you can see just their hand holding. Same thing with manipulation. Mm-hmm. You've got to have good hands. You've got to learn how to make the patient comfortable. it's literally just a skill, kind of like in my talk, I talked about shooting free throws.
Yeah.
It's a skill.
Yeah.
A lot of people haven't developed that skill. They make millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
But we don't, as providers, make millions of dollars a year. And we have a lot of people who need us. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But it can be learned, and no one health profession has the patent on manipulation, right? It's been around since before our profession started.
Yeah.
A lot of the research has been done in the last couple decades.
Yeah.
And a lot of the research, probably it's pretty stable. Like, there's not a lot new out there because of the, it's challenging to research. You can't give a good placebo manipulation.
Right.
But I think we all can read the literature and know where it fits and where it doesn't.
Yes, I'm glad you said that. Sean, I don't mean to keep cutting you off, man. I know you're about to speak.
You're fine.
But we're sitting here with the master, right? This guy,
this is true.
I mean, he is a master at manual manipulative therapy. I mean, this is what this guy does. And so as you're talking, Brian, I'm thinking about all the other healthcare providers that are trained to manipulate in their education. So I'm going to start with osteopaths.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Long lever. I'm going to go with chiros.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah. So just so everybody's on the same page, this is all high velocity, low amplitude, HVLA. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. So we're talking about short lever, high thrust. We're talking about long lever, low thrust, more muscle energy. Right. Mm-hmm. And then knowing the differences. So we keep running down. We've got physical therapists and athletic trainers and occupational therapists and
kinesiotherapists,
right? Yeah. We all know how to manipulate. We've all been trained as part of our education. And how do we start to share some of these things? Hey, listen, if I need to do a cervical manipulation and maybe I lay them supine, then, you know, it's not a go for me. Okay, how do I sit them back up if I need to get a first rib? And, right. You know, God, there's so many ways that you can do it.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I know in my fellowship training is when I learned manipulation. You know, I got introduced to it in physical therapy school, but literally you had to qualify by making good grades in your early orthopedics classes to sit for this elective. Mm-hmm. Now it's integrated in all their training, just like it is in the AT programs. But as we all know, what you learn in school doesn't mean you know how to apply it in a real world setting. And so as much as I can encourage those people who take students is to help teach, to reinforce those techniques, and take time, you know, dead time to practice, have your student practice on you, you practice on them so that they know how to then utilize that skill in practice. Because just because you can do it for a practical doesn't mean you can use it in practice. You know how to pick your patients. And then with the dang thing about manual therapy is then you got to be able to execute. So it's not even that you just have to be able to make the right decision. Then you actually have to be able to do it, you know. And then that's one other barrier, right? That's one other way that kind of manual therapy falls apart.
Yeah. I learned how to, I was taught how to manipulate a little over 20 years ago. And I remember at the time, our head athletic trainer who's passed on, unfortunately, Dan Bailey. And he's the one that really encouraged me to go on and learn these skills. Also, another one of my mentors, Dr. Jerry Bornstein, who was an osteopath. And, you know, he's been, God, he came out of med school like in 50, 60 years ago. And he became an orthopedic surgeon. And I saw Jerry do stuff, you know, manipulating. I mean, this guy was a maverick, right? Yeah. Like manipulating after a brachial plexus injury, manipulating after this, you know, and it was one of those things that he knew the anatomy so well.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing too, is you have to know your anatomy.
Absolutely.
That's the thing that I really want to push on though, that I think that like, Jeremy's been down to our symposium that we have, and he's seen Sean Scott. Sean Scott's a DC, does not do high velocity. And the reason he doesn't do high velocity is because, as he will say, I can get as good with low velocity. I can do as well with low velocity as I can with high velocity.
I think you're talking about low thrust.
Okay. Yeah. Low thrust.
Yeah.
Yes. Man, every time, like, I can't, I'm just going to stop talking and let him go. Cause I'm never going to say the right thing.
I mean, you're making up words, dude. Neurotomes.
Neurotomes.
You said diatomes, I think. I think it was like deep tendon reflexes, you know, came out as diatomes.
DT, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
But anyway, okay. So in that situation, that's his mindset and that's his goal. He works with rodeo guys. Yeah. We don't deal with a ton of trauma. And in that mindset, he's very, very good in his evaluation, where I think that as a clinician, you have to understand that anatomy. You have to understand, just like you're talking about, this individual that you're speaking of understands the anatomy, understands that stuff, has the understanding of what is going on, like above and below, where we need to make sure that we know that, but we can also do a lot of other things. Like you said in your talk, this is a tool in your toolbox. Right. This is not the only thing. I love the low back aspect that you brought up, the low back classifications.
Yes.
Because where some people don't think of hypo, hypermobile, or stability versus mobility. Talk through that classification if you can.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a way to subclassify patients, and it's become pretty useful because in the evolution of treating back pain, we went through how everybody needs Williams flexion exercises, and then Robin McKenzie came along and says, no, we got to extend everybody and push the disc back in place, and now we know that that doesn't actually occur. And then came along the idea that, hey, we could probably put these people in different buckets. Like, we've got a bucket of people who need stability or benefit from strengthening type exercises. And we don't even know if they actually get stronger, but going through that motion develops resilience. And then we've got specific directional preference, or some people benefit from extending. Some people benefit from flexion. Bending forward, and then we've got a group that totally benefits from manipulation. Those patients with acute pain, they have pain in just one spot, that kind of thing. And then we have another bucket of traction, so people with pain down the leg, people with pain with coughing and sneezing and things like that. And I think that traction bucket in my clinical practice has turned into a medication bucket, meaning if you've got sciatic pain down the leg and it's acute and it's an athlete and we've got a game this weekend, I can mess around with traction. You're going to feel better. And then when I let the traction up, you're not going to feel better.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to let the body take care of this inflammatory response. And so just like we would ice an ankle or a knee, hammering with NSAIDs or a Medrol dose pack, those ridiculous symptoms resolve, and then you can get back to, are they in a manipulation category? Yeah. Are they in a stable category? Are they in a directional preference? And so that's probably been one of the biggest changes. I'll have people come into the PT clinic. They have a positive straight leg raise and positive slump test. They can't move. There's like their eyes are watering up when you ask them to turn from supine to prone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a good tool for that.
Yeah, man.
And 20 years into practice now, having been that patient and having had steroids, I'm like, oh God, I ran 4 miles four days later.
Right. But recognizing like, hey, listen, I know what I don't know. And this is time for me to refer.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news here, but we're getting
come
the signal.
Come on, Josh.
I'm sorry.
We're getting the signal. Is it time to go get a beer? It's 5 o'clock somewhere?
Yeah. Sure.
I mean,
yeah, we're getting the signal from Jeremy Jackson. We got to shut this down.
Healthy
lifestyle. Listen, before we go, the research says that actually one beer is good for you.
It's true.
Yeah, I learned that through some other avenues. Anyway, hey, if people want to get a hold of you, Brian Duncan, how do they do that?
Call Josh Yellen.
Don't do that.
Dr. Yellen will take care of it. No, I can be found, Brian.Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N, at memorialherman2ns.org. Cell phone 214-632-6784. Feel free to text me. Always happy to chat, all things spine, physical therapy, collaboration with athletic trainers is something I love. And so, anyway, hit me up if you got any questions, comments, concerns.
This is Jeremy Jackson, Closing it out again live at the Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine Update. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/mobilization, and I'll put that email from Brian in there and the ways to get a hold of Sean and Dr. Yellen as well. And that is a wrap.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.